Broadcasting from behind the Second Amendment Iron Curtain in the shadows of the New York City skyline, this is Gun for Hire Radio, the voice of 1 million New Jersey gun owners, with your hosts, Sandy Berardi and Master Firearms Trainer, Anthony Calandra.
Live from the land that freedom forgot, the most listened to Second Amendment broadcast in the nation. Welcome to it.
Welcome to show 670, our highest numbered show yet. And continuing our series of 2A heavy hitters, I want to bring to everybody's attention that not all the 2A heavy hitters reside in New Jersey. Some of the 2A heavy hitters reside in other states like Massachusetts, aka Taxachusetts. And when I introduced this gentleman, I've known him for, I guess, about 7 or 8 years now. I was on show 25 of his continuing series, and he's about 200 now. So it's been quite some time, and he's one of the hardest working gentlemen in the 2A field, and he is definitely the one with the most mileage out of everybody in the 2A fight, I would have to say. And obviously it's a double-edged little comment I made there. What do they call that? A double entendre. But he started this thing called the Gungram, which is really, really cool. He can talk about that today. He's emceed a ton of stuff. He's emceed fashion shows. I want to talk about concealed carry today and options because somebody wants me to talk about suspenders. And I'm not getting suspenders. Sorry, Rich Bowen. It's not happening. I have other options
yes,
here.
Yes, exactly.
But so he's out there. He's traveling all over the place. He's constantly looking for people to interview that are in a 2A fight. Just educational YouTube series. And he'll tell you all of his platforms. And he's going to be here April 20th for the DC Project CNJFO event because he's the MC that
cool.
night. Because, again, any opportunity to get in a car and drive somewhere and put somebody in the passenger seat, he will do it. I can tell you all, if you're listening, if he asks you to be on his series, please don't hesitate. It's a lot of fun. So without further ado, the host and originator of Riding Shotgun with Charlie from Massachusetts, Charlie Cook. Welcome to the show.
Gentlemen, I am completely honored. You have no idea.
Overdo it. Forget it.
No. I'm trying to figure out everything that I want to say in my intro, and the intro is going to take about an hour.
Oh, God.
I've been a huge fan of Gun for Hire Radio for, honestly, since just about the beginning. I know that I was listening absolutely by episode 45. My favorite episode was the one that you did it was 2012. I always thought it was number 66, but it might be episode 68. Could be up to 72, but it's the one that you guys did after Sandy Hook, where you talked about the things that a mass murderer goes through before they.
I remember that.
And whenever there's a mass shooting somewhere, whether it's a school or whatever, the place up in Buffalo, wherever it is, I always try to dig that up and share it with people and say, "Hey, listen, this is what you have to listen to understand where these murderers are coming from. It's not like they just woke up one day and planned for this, woke up one day and decided to do this.
Sure.
They put time into planning for everything." So I've been a fan since the beginning, man, really.
Well, I'm supposed to, a friend of yours, a big fanboy, I'm supposed to ask you about the dirt on the floor.
Oh, Jesus.
Okay.
Okay.
You don't have to comment. I was just supposed to mention that.
Okay. So, yeah. So here's
you don't have to answer it.
All right. We just have to know that that the super fan is out there talking about the dirt on the floor.
Yes. That's it. So did you hit 200 on Riding Shotgun with Charlie?
So this week I actually put out episode 198.
Yes.
Wow,
I saw that.
Close. Yeah.
And I've got, I think, seven or eight more shows that I need to edit. I don't know if I should say this, but my big 200th episode is going to come out the second Tuesday in April.
Cool.
And my guest was Michael Bain. Michael Bain for 22 years was on the Outdoor Channel doing a show called Shooting Gallery. He also did The Best Defense with Rob Pincus and I think it was Michael Janis, who's a knife guy. And before all of that, Michael Bain was a writer for Country Music Magazine. So we spent a lot of time. We actually drove from his secret hidden bunker outside of, I think it's outside of Fort Collins. It's somewhere outside of Denver. But we drove from there to the Stanley Hotel in Estes Park, Colorado, and went into the Stanley Hotel, had a drink, and then we talked about music on the way there, and then we talked about gun stuff on the way back.
Wow. So cool. let's rewind a little bit, because as part of our heavy hitter series is what inspired people, what was the defining moment? Obviously, you're an educator, you're an accomplished musician, you're a dad, but like you never turn anything down and you work for free like everybody else out there, the majority. And you're always there. Like if anybody asks you to do something, we'll talk about the fashion show and the SHOT Show and NRA annual meeting and et cetera, et cetera. But so what started this whole thing? You know, if you go to Charlie Cook's Riding Shotgun with Charlie's page, you'll see a picture of him with his grandfather's shotgun over his shoulder. So obviously guns have been in your family at least three generations. But what lit the fire under Charlie Cook to get him traversing across the country?
So I was a gun agnostic growing up. Guns weren't a thing. My father died when I was a kid. I was raised by my mom and four. I have four sisters, so we all had long hair and earrings. And
cool.
my game plan in life was to be the lead trombone player for Kiss. But fat kids that play the trombone do not get to be rock stars. So I, you know, at some point I knew I was going to be a music teacher, and everything was, you know, be in a band and go to music school and all that kind of stuff. So after college, I ended up traveling around with the band for a bit and ended up in Nashville for about 6 months or so. And one of the going jokes in Nashville used to be, what do you call a musician without a girlfriend? And the answer is homeless. And I thought that was really funny until I had to ask my girlfriend if I could move my stuff into her apartment. Oh, God. It's not funny. This is true. So anyway, so fast forward a couple of years later, I end up back in Boston. I got a teaching job teaching music, and I'm playing in a band. And, you know, met a girl and got married, had a kid, bought a house. And then September 11th happened. And on September 11th, I was sitting in my I wasn't in the main building of the school. I was in a different building, and it was picture day. So they ended up doing pictures in my room. And I sat in the teacher's room and watched everything unfold on September 11th. And my son was 9 months old. I realized that we live in a dangerous world, and we need to, you know, got to be able to protect my little boy, because he's my responsibility. And I want to be able to raise him and see him grow up and, you know, do all that kind of stuff. So we need to protect ourselves. About a month or so later, the principal called us in and said that if anyone's in the school that's not supposed to be, he said he's going to get on the intercom and say that the eagle has landed. And when he did, when he said that, he said everyone was supposed to lock their doors and hide under their desks. And I said, this is a bunch of baloney, because I don't have any desks in my room. So yeah. I'm in a different building. So this ain't going to fly. So I sat in the teacher's room, and I was 30, 31 years old. Didn't really know where I leaned politically. I honestly asked my mother when I was in high school. I said, Mom, are we Republicans or Democrats? And she said, well, I'm from Wisconsin and your father's from Tennessee. And I had no idea what that meant. So I just went through whatever, playing in a band and drinking beer and watching girls dance. So I sat in the teacher's room with a bunch of what I assume now are liberal Democrats. And I said, if somebody comes in the building that's not supposed to be here, the teachers on the first floor should all have guns and they can shoot the bad guys. And the teachers on the second floor can keep on teaching. And we need half the grief counseling, right? Because it only happened on the first floor. So they all looked at me like I was nuts. And I said, you know what? We got a February vacation coming up. I'm going to go get a gun license. I'm going to show you guys what I'm talking about. And I started the process in February of 2002. And I think it was by June of 2002 when I finally had a license. We had to sit through a class. We had an anti-gun chief of police, and we had to sit through his class. And his class was a bunch of legal stuff. And then they held up a revolver and a semi-auto and said, here's a revolver. Here's a semi-auto. Don't touch these. And then we got our gun licenses. and never fired a gun. I think I knew less going out of the class than I did going into the class. Oh. But anyway, so I had a gun license. I became an NRA member. I got a Charlton Heston is my president bumper sticker. And I never fired a gun. And then so that September, I took a basic pistol class with Gun Owners Action League. And that's I remember shooting a 6.17, a Smith & Wesson 6.17 22 10-round revolver. And I shot it for the first time, and I was like, does anyone know about this? Because this is really cool.
That's like a little 22 revolver, though, right?
Oh, my God. It was – I've gone. If they were $800, I'd buy one for myself, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that started the whole thing. A couple years later, I actually went I told my mom that I had a gun license, and I said, you know, this gun stuff is pretty cool. I was getting the Armed Lifestyle the American Rifleman magazine, and I was looking at the Armed Citizen columns every month. You know, that's the first thing I read. And I said, this gun stuff is pretty cool. And my mom's like, why don't you come out to the Midwest and get your dad's guns? So I hope the statute of limitations has passed. I drove out to the Midwest and with my wife and kids and brought home a couple shotguns and a couple handguns and drove them back to Massachusetts and joined a shooting club. A couple years later, I became a range safety officer so I could run bowling pin shoots. And then a couple years after that, John Green, who's the director of education at the Gun Owners Action League, said, he's like, hey, you're a teacher and you should come help us with these firearm safety education days that we do. So I did that. And then after a couple years, he's like, dude, why don't you just become an instructor? So I became a firearm instructor and got business cards and thought I knew what I was doing, you know?
You thought you knew what you were doing?
Yeah, I thought I knew what I was doing. And then I started teaching at a shooting school, and eventually the capitalist thing started to kick in a little bit. I would teach a class of 20 people and bring in $2,000 for the boss. And I know there's overhead and all that kind of stuff, but my attitude was I was up there singing and dancing for 4 hours for $150. And so I'm like, how can I make more money for me as an instructor? And one of my friends said, you know what, you should talk to a local biz guy and start your own business. So I sort of did that. She actually convinced me to go to a Toastmasters meeting to meet this guy because I was like, well, there's no way I can call up a stranger and ask them to go out for coffee, and I can't do that. All that sort of stuff. So she kind of forced me into this to go meet this guy. I started having coffee with him, and he's like, yeah, you know what? You can use my space to teach gun classes in, and, you know, whatever you need, just let me know. And I started teaching gun classes on my own and making, you know, a little bit more money. In about 2015, I was hanging out with one of my friends, and he's like, you know what, dude, you get that look in your eye whenever you talk about your gigging days. And he says, you get the same, you know, that look in your eye when you talk about guns. You should find a way to put the two together. I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, oh, what if you played bum ba da da da. And I'm like, that's ridiculous. So I went home and worked on one-handed reloading, and I made a video it was actually 2014, made a video of me playing the Blue Danube Waltz and shooting a Glock at the same time.
I've watched that many a time.
That was fun.
What year was that, Char?
I did that one in 2014.
So it's been that long that I was passing your video around to people. I was like, look at this nut job. Did not know him. He listened to Gunfire Radio, but I did not know Charlie at the time. But I thought this was the coolest shit ever. So go ahead.
I did one of those in 2014. And then in 2015, it was one of my friend's son's birthday. And I decided to – I hate it when kids say the cha-cha-cha when you sing happy birthday. So I went out and made a video playing the trumpet, shooting an AR, and I shot the cha-cha-cha with my AR with one hand. Yeah. Right? So I did that, and then I had a lot of people that were like, oh, my God, this is cool. Can you do one for my birthday? Can you do this song? Can you do that song? And so in 2015, I started making these videos playing the trumpet, shooting a gun. And I think it was, in 2016 for your birthday, Anthony. I went and I got a cigar. I got a Tipperello cigar that's got the plastic tip on it. I had to hold the cigar in my mouth while I played the trumpet and shot my 1911.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
And so that was early 2016, right? This is Sandy. I tell people I have. I don't get out much, and I'm undateable, so I have all the time.
I remember that well, Chuck.
My question is how did you stop triple-tonguing the Tipperillo? And
So I practiced holding a cigar in my mouth while I formed my embouchure to play the trumpet, and all the cigar just popped out. So I had to get I went into a convenience store. I'm like, I need a cigar that has a plastic tip on it. And like, I'm like, I don't know. I just need something that's got a plastic tip that I can hold in my teeth. So anyway, so I made I call them gun grams, and I made a happy birthday gun gram to Anthony that year. Yep. And then later that year, when I was in Toastmasters, I was working on this manual called Communicating on Video. That doing that manual, I had to interview someone for 5 to 7 minutes in a talk show format, be interviewed by someone. I had to do a press release. I had to do an editorial video, and then I had to make a video teaching people how to improve their speeches. And I had this idea, you know, I would watch Carpool Karaoke, and I would see James Corden, and he's driving around with these rock stars, and I'm like, oh, I want to hang out with rock stars, right? So it's still, that's kind of still in me. But I had this idea, I'm like, you know what, James Corden's chubby, and he's English, and I'm chubby, and I speak English.
It's a natural match.
Right, I should be able to do this. It doesn't look that hard. So I bought a couple GoPros and got some suction cup mounts, and I had no idea how to edit video. I have no idea how to edit audio. I started making some videos, and what I ended up doing in 2016 is I'd interview my local friends, one of the guys I used to play in a band with. I interviewed one of my mentors, a couple gun instructors in the area. But what I did is I used to listen to Gun for Hire, and I used to listen to the Black Man with a Gun podcast with Reverend Ken Blanchard.
Yeah, great
guy. I said, hey, you know what? Yeah, he is. So I messaged Ken, and I said, hey, Ken, my name's Charlie. I'm a big fan of the show. I'm starting a new thing. I'm going to interview people in the car. I'm calling it Riding Shotgun with Charlie. I'd love to have you on the show. And he wrote back to me like 2 hours later. And he's like, I'm in. Sounds fun. When can we do this?
Aren't gun people the best people, though?
They are. They really are. So I ended up emailing Anthony because you were talking about doing classes about teaching people how to shoot with the sitting on the toilet, right?
And shitter.
Shooting on the shitter.
Yes, exactly. I remember those because I emailed you. I'm like, you got to do one when you're standing up at the urinal too. So anyway, I emailed you and I said, hey, you know, I'm doing this thing and this is what I'm trying to do. And I didn't hear back from you. So I made all these plans.
Wait a minute. I shunned you?
Yeah. Well, this was at first. You just didn't get back to me. And I'm like, all right, he's a busy man. He's got a business. He's got all sorts of stuff. I set up the date for Ken. I drive down to D.C. And as I'm just getting into Jersey, I see all these towns that you guys are mentioned all the time on the show. So I'm like, oh my God, Anthony can't be that far. So I pull over to the rest area and it says I'm 15 minutes away. So I'm like, I got to go by. So I go into the range. I walk in. I greet by everybody. I'm like, I tell the concierge woman, I'm like, I just want to say hi to Anthony. I'm a fan of the podcast. And I'm in the area and I just want to say hi. And she's like, what's your name? I said, my name's Charlie. I'm from Massachusetts. And so you came out, Anthony, and you looked at me and you're like, you're that guy that plays a trumpet and shoots a gun, right? I'm like, yes. Like, wait a second. So you came back with like, you know, shirts and stickers and a hat and all sorts of swag. I'm like, this is the coolest, man. So then I'm standing there talking with you and I'm like, tell him that you emailed him and you're going to interview Ken. And I got the other guy on my shoulder saying, don't tell him, he's busy. He didn't reply. He doesn't want to do this. So I blurted out. I'm like, I'm going down to interview Ken Blanchard. I actually emailed you and it said I wanted to interview you. And you're like, when are you coming back to town? I'm like, tomorrow. You're like, here's my phone number. Tell the Rev I said hi. And when you said, tell the Rev I said hi, I'm like, I think I just got some secret handshake. I don't know. am I in the club? Am I not in the club?
You're in the club.
Yeah, so it was great. I got down to D.C. that night, interviewed Ken Blanchard, drove back up to Jersey, reached out to you. You were kind enough to hop in the car and do the show with me. And then every time for the next few years, every time I went down through Jersey, I'd stop at Gun for Hire just to say hi.
Yep.
Later that year in 2016, I went out to Minneapolis and I interviewed Lee Michaels, who was a conservative talk show guy on a radio station in Minneapolis. He was robbed at gunpoint. His story was in Lessons from Unarmed America by Rob Pincus and Mark Walters. Mark is from Armed American Radio.
Yep.
And Lee says, hey, if you come out to on this particular weekend in Minnesota, we have the Minnesota State Fair, and we can I can get you an interview with Mark Walters. I'm like, oh, my God, that's big time. So yeah. I made all the plans, went out to Minneapolis, interviewed Mark, and he called me the next day, and he's like, hey, man, this is really cool. I want to help you out with this. Give me a couple days. And I'm like, I don't really know what he means, but I'll take it. And then he called me 2 days after that, and he said, do you want to come speak at the Gun Rights Policy Conference in Tampa?
Oh, bingo.
And I'm like, yes, I do. So that is how I got into meeting all the great people in the gun community.
And it just grew from there. And people have no idea what Charlie does. Charlie would get in a car and drive anywhere to interview somebody. And he has some great, I mean, you've had Evan Knappen on the show. I mean, it's just phenomenal.
So Evan Knappen, I reached out to Evan a couple years ago, right? And I'm like, all right, I think it's time I need to message Evan. And I send him an email and I don't hear from him. And it's on a Sunday. I'm teaching a basic pistol class. And I see this number come up from New Hampshire. It says 603 area code. I'm like, I think this is Evan Knappen. And I told the lady, I'm like, excuse me, I need to take this. I'm really sorry. So I interrupt the class. I start talking with them, and I put the phone down. I say, why don't you go have lunch? I'll come back later. I ended up for, 25 minutes on the phone with Evan or something. It was great. It was really cool.
Yeah, that is so cool. And I mean, you have the name now. It's not like you're an unknown. You've been doing this so long. People know who you are. People are willing to talk to you. People are ready, willing to take it to the next level. When to be honest, I don't remember getting your initial email, or I might have just glanced at it and said, yeah, another kook trying to get some of my time or get a soundbite interview or whatever. So I guess meeting you in person, you having the wherewithal to stop by was a beautiful thing. Before we forget, tell Sandy about the fashion show you emceed, because he seems to be obsessed with that.
All right. So one of the people I met was Amanda Suffacool, who's she's with Eye on the Target Radio, and she's now
fellow a fellow NRA board member. Make sure you bullet vote Scott Bach for NRA board. Amanda is a great person. Her brother's a great person. Go ahead, Charlie. Oh, I had to get that out.
No, that's great. They are awesome. So Amanda's so cool. I met her at Gun Rights Policy Conference. I was actually on her radio show about a year and a half before. She was looking for people that were gun instructors in every state. So I reached out. I did the radio show with them. She's like, hey, that guy was really cool. We should have him back sometime. And then a year and a half later, I don't hear from her. I run into her down in Tampa. And I'm like, hey, you had me on your show. You said you're going to call back. You never did. So she said she was doing a fashion show in Cleveland. I'm like, I'd love to MC a fashion show. I think that'd be really fun. So she ended up, she was doing this fashion show. It was taped by Vice News or A&E, or it was videotaped by somebody. Somebody was doing like an hour long special on this. And I drove out to Cleveland and did the concealed carry fashion show with her. And then we went to the Friends of the NRA dinner where I actually won a gun. And then we went and did her radio show. So it was a great weekend. Like just an amazing way to kick things off and get all this going. Yeah.
Now, are you active with GOAL in Massachusetts?
So I did. They had an event back in the fall, and they asked me to speak. And I got to obviously get in for free as a speaker, but I also ended up buying a ticket, and I kept badgering one of the ladies that worked for Gun Owners Action League. And I said, hey, listen, I want to make sure that my ticket's in because I want to win one of the rifles. And she's like, you're not going to win. I'm like, I know. I just want to make sure. She's like, it's in there. Don't worry about it. So then I saw her again. I'm like, hey, I just really did like, I don't know if you're pulling my leg here. And she's like, oh my God, your name's there. And then I saw her again. I'm like, really? Did you put my name in the list? She's like, oh my God, Charlie, even if I call you, even if I pull your name, I'm not going to call it. So they get up there and they call my name. They're giving away an $1,800 Tavor X95. She looks, she reads the name, she looks right at me and she says, Charlie Cook.
No way.
She looked at me and she's like, how did you do this? I'm like, dude, this is what I do.
Oh my! You probably spooked her at that point. I'd be like, I would have moved my chair away from you.
Right. Yes, that's when she went and got the restraining order. Right. Yeah, I do. I've done some stuff with Goal. A lot of my early stuff, a lot of the training courses that I did was with Gun Owners Action League, and I went out last year. Oh, go ahead.
I just want to let everybody know, Goal, for you New Jersey people, Goal is the equivalent to ANJRPC. It's the state association. It's the NRA affiliate. And so they're out there not only with training and education, but they're also politically active, lobbying, et cetera, and fighting the good fight in Massachusetts. I just want people to know that, Chow. Go ahead.
Yeah. So, I've done some stuff with Goal. A year ago, they had these things called the gun law listening tours, and I would go out to these and listen to these people talk about, oh, we just want to have live fire, and we want to make sure people can't make ghost guns. And then the bill that they came out with was like, you know, restricting everything. It was impossible. But I love the guys over at Gun Owners Action League. I'm good friends with all of them, and they do some great stuff.
Yeah, you're doing God's work out there, traveling around, and you're doing it all on your dime, which a lot of people don't know. He gets in a car and he goes and draws zero salary from this and burns cars out and spends tons of money on gas, et cetera, et cetera. Child, before we take a break, give us where we can find you, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, please.
So I do have writingshotgunwithcharlie.com. But okay.
It's listed in the reader of this show. You can click on the link. Whoever's listening to the show, just click on it. Go ahead, Charles.
I try to drive people to the YouTube channel because I think when I get more people watching YouTube and I get more subscribers and more views, then when I do get to the point where I want to find some advertisers, then it'll be easier for them, you know, easier to go to them and say, hey, I've got this many people that follow me on YouTube. Mm-hmm. But I also put the audio out as a podcast. So you can find it on iHeartRadio and Apple Podcasts and Spotify and all those podcast outlets.
He's a very inspiring guy. You have to start watching his. You have to look up his gun grams, and you have to. You definitely have to watch Riding Shotgun with Charlie. I need all of our listeners out there to go and find him on, especially his YouTube channel, and like, share, and follow, and post it everywhere, and post the gun grams. Are you still doing gun grams? Do you charge for gun grams if somebody wants to send one as a gift?
I do. I charge people about $65, which is certainly not enough money, but no. I haven't done any in a while. I used to do them a lot more when I was more inspired, but I'm actually currently right now at the Pot of Gold. I think it's potofgoldauctions.com. I'm giving a gun gram away and a riding shotgun hoodie and a riding shotgun coffee mug. They're doing a charity auction for Hold My Guns, and Sarah Joy Albrecht asked me if I would do a gun gram. I'm like, yeah, of course. So I'm going to do a personalized gun gram. Yeah, she is. I'm going to do a personalized gun gram for them, and I'm going to send them a riding shotgun hoodie and a riding shotgun coffee mug and a couple of stickers too, of course.
I'm planning on having Sarah Joy on the radio show eventually as well. So, she's on my list. Okay. We're going to take a short break and do some housekeeping now before Sandy yells at me. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, don't forget to go to RidingShotgunWithCharlie.com. Go to his YouTube channel, like, share, and follow. He just mentioned he has swag. His coffee mug, his hoodie, his stickers are really, really cool stuff. The logo is really cool. Everybody should have one on their gun safe. Everyone should have one on their gun bag. So please support those who support you, as we say all the time. Speaking in that tenor, NYTACDefense.com. NYTACDefense.com. Use Gun for Hire, one word, for 15% off your monthly membership. If you live anywhere in New York, city or state, it is the only legal defense fund that is allowed. If you live in the 49 other states except New York, U.S. Law Shield, uslawshield.com, and they have some changes coming up to their format. I think there's going to be a small price increase. They haven't had an increase in a long time. Details to follow. So you want to use Gun for Hire, one word, in the code when you sign up. A mutual friend of Charlie and ours is John Petrolino, the Penn Patriot and the Square Reviews, and of course, Decoding Firearms, available at Gun for Hire, Amazon, and Kindle, and as well as Aberdeen Guns in Monmouth County, New Jersey. Tell John and Vin, I saw you. Vin, finish that damn kitchen so your wife can start cooking again. All right, please take her out to dinner until it's done. Don't forget, my doctor is Optimal Health Wellness NJ, Optimal Health Wellness NJ, concierge medicine for a few hundred bucks a month. No more going to stinky, dirty, infectious doctor's offices. Lake Island Rifle and Pistol Clubs in Carteret, New Jersey is looking for junior rifle members 12 to 18 years old to learn firearm safety and to compete in small bore and air rifle competition. Visit lakeis.org. Zen Float Center, 219 Park Avenue, Scotch Plains, zenfloatcenter.com. Tell Sharon Decker we sent you. News number two, letter A.com. News number two, letter A.com. Please go and check out their site, chock full of information and shaming. The Varsity Firearms Podcast with John Valenti. You want to follow him as well and listen. Please go to standstrong.biz and support those who support you. It's very, very important. Standstrong.biz. Almost 500 businesses, products, and services. Every Sunday, we showcase a business. Tell the people we sent you. Wait till you hear the info I have coming from there in a minute. Remember to bullet vote Bach for NRA, bullet vote for Scott Bach. Sandy Pietro from Songhi Napoli, that has four locations, three in New York, one in Rutherford, New Jersey.
Yeah.
He donated $250 to the NRA dinner.
Wow.
He donated $250 to Tony Simon's organization, the Diversity Shoot. And he just donated $250 to Ladies Night. And you want to talk about paying it forward. His head pizza maker just won the pizza international pizza making competition in Las Vegas yesterday.
Pretty cool.
Beat that, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to have that. He rotates every 3 weeks. He's at the Rutherford location, that chef. We're going to be doing something with him. So details to follow with that. I'm totally blown away. But again, I would expect nothing less from the gun people because they are definitely the best people. So we know we have a bunch of NRA dinners coming up. And Greg Nice, who's the area rep, field representative for the NRA Foundation, wanted us to let us know that September 14th is the Atlantic County Friends of the NRA dinner at the Cologne Firehouse. October 2nd is the North Jersey dinner at the Tides. And October 17th, the Hunterdon County dinner is back. And it's at the Green Pond Country Club at Bethlehem, PA. So they're doing, the Hunterdon County's doing it in PA, obviously for legality reasons. But you can go to friendsofnra.org and click on that, and you can get all of the information. And obviously, our dinner, I just want to read an email from John Acapinti Sr. Obviously, they were on the show last week, John Jr. and John Sr. It's not beneath John. He would probably raffle off tickets to his son and daughter-in-law's wedding if it would raise money for the cause. But he wrote this, "Good morning, bud. Hope you're enjoying Florida and you're not driving Tracy crazy." Well, yeah, I am driving Tracy crazy. It's my job. He goes, "Once again, thank you for having JJ and I on the show last week. JJ was good, wasn't he? Taught him everything I know." Laugh out loud. "This is inspiring, everybody. Charlie, you're going to love this." He goes, "When I say I have no words to say, it's because we're overwhelmed with the support we're getting. When you say gun people are the best people, you're not joking. Well, as predicted, a little fear of shaming goes a long way. I won't embarrass anyone by name, but some of the sponsors were terrified you would call them out." Well, the statute of limitations is not up yet. We have until October 2nd.
Yeah.
He goes, since last week's show, an additional 7 tables have been sold to businesses. Fellow 2A advocates like Dan Iannuzzo from Castellano Motors, Vinny Cisternino of Polaris Defense, which is concierge-level firearms and emergency medical training. Love Vinny. He bought tables. I love this one. Rennie Jacobs put a post on Facebook seeing who wanted a seat at an NRA dinner. He sold his first table out, 28 minutes, the first table, and now he's working on his second table. I saw his post. Bravo, Rennie. We also sold another 35 individual tickets. That's another 145 seats in 4 days. Effing awesome. I'm telling people with all seriousness, don't wait to buy your tickets or tables. You better buy them today. And John, you're absolutely right. He goes, some of the businesses, Sal Marcella of Autosport USA, which is on Route 17 in Ramsey, he was freaking out that I would shame him, okay, in Ramsey. Our friend and heavy hitter John Valenti, who bought two tables. Dr. Stabil, our foot doctor, Gun for Hire alumni and member, he bought tickets to the event. He goes, I'm going to ask you to hold off shaming for a little bit because there's too many to list. He goes, Chris Decker, from his wife's company, Zen Float Center, donated a gift card. Norm from H&A Remodeling donated a DeWalt power tool set. Nice. All right. Vin Cisternino of Polaris Defense donated a special gift card. All right. I promised him I would not tell where. You and I are not allowed to fill the cup with tickets. You're going to love it. Our friend from LaTip, A&H Tree Service, Holmes Orego, is donating a 20 by 40 American flag to be placed on the main entrance of the venue. Wow. And he's going to make one of his cranes available to spotlight the flag. I'm blown away as well. Anyway, on and on and on. Also, the whole time they're doing this, I just want to let everybody know that John Sr. from Field of Dreams was fighting prostate cancer and going through radiation treatments while him and his son were driving all over the state to gun ranges, gun stores, and 2A supporters to get donations to put the flyers out. And the news is that John beat the prostate cancer. He got a clean bill of health from his doctor. So I just want to say Godspeed, and I wouldn't have it any other way with you. I'm proud to call you my friend and 2A supporter. So please, everybody, you better get your shit together and go to friendsofnra.org/events. You better register to be there, and you better email them. I'm not going to go over it in too detail, but the public shaming is going to continue as soon as John tells me it's okay. Now, Charlie, in New Jersey, we've had 35,000 carry permits issued post-Bruin. Gun for Hire is responsible for about 14,500 of those to date. That's not a bad statistic, right, for one facility to do a nice chunk of them. But it's interesting because the NICS website, NewJerseyNICS.com, they issued their permit to carry statistics. And on the top of the NICS statistics, they posted two red flags and a demographic exclusion. Sandy, you're going to love this. This was directive from the AG and Murphy. Notice red flag one, pending applications exclusion. The state has demanded that pending applications should not be included in the data.
Ooh.
You know the reason why? They don't want you to see how many are pending, taking more than 30, 60, yeah. 90, 120 days.
Oh, nice.
They're hiding their criminal actions right there. Number two, red flag number two. This is the best one right here. Absence of application date versus issue date. The state didn't report the application date versus the issue date in the data. Again, they don't want us to have the data of how long they're taking. And you know Petrolino's Oprah requesting all of this stuff under the Freedom of Information Act, all right? Also, number three, demographics exclusion. The data available for download does not include demographics categorized by municipality, our county, etc. They're trying to hide as much data as possible for us. Meanwhile, I wouldn't be surprised if the colonel of the New Jersey State Police, Patrick Callahan, might lose his job because he did a video interview for NJ Spotlight News saying that it's not the law-abiding gun owners and carry permit holders that are causing the crime in New Jersey.
Because there is a problem.
Okay, shot. He never should have said that. They all said it was going to be Wild West and blood on the streets. So I'm sure Plotkin and the Tooth went apoplectic as soon as they found out about this. The Toad and the Tooth. And John Petrolino says he's taking responsibility for Pat's backtracking, because I called him out on it last week. And I believe it. John called him out on it because, again, Callahan says, well, it's not the law-abiding citizens. They go through background checks and references and everything. 80% of the crime that's committed in New Jersey is from guns that are out of state. And at the 20% of the guns that are committed in crimes in New Jersey, about 18% of that are stolen firearms from the state of New Jersey.
Right.
So it's very, very minimum. And we're having gun owners from Toms River and Cranberry, et cetera, using their guns to protect themselves and their family. So it's all a bunch of bullshit that they're always trying to blame us and shame us in saying it. And I know those numbers are skewed because I've gotten emails, numerous emails from people, and I've gotten emails from police chiefs that I can't get into telling me that the numbers they reported to the state and the numbers that were listed are way off. Interesting. Okay. The communities that are getting carry permits, it's being underreported by the state. I'm going to say it's over 50 to 60,000 permits in my mind that have been issued already. And eventually it's all going to come out. Right now they're trying to keep it down. I got this email early this morning from Devin. Good morning, Anthony. I assume it was you this morning on 80 East in the Gun for Hire Jeep. I was the truck driver in the big red tractor beeping my train horns. Oh, shit. Marvin must have had a heart attack. It was extremely funny to see you as I was listening to your podcast getting caught up on my way to a delivery. Hope all is well and you're not eating too many cookies. That would be Stella Doro, by the way.
That would be.
Laugh out loud. Thanks again for all you do for the community and have done for my family and I at your range. Looking forward to coming back soon. Stay safe. Stay healthy. Devin, exit 5 on the turnpike. Devin, that would be Marvin. You gave a mild heart attack to this morning, which is fine. Marvin can use it once in a while. We like to keep him, up on things that are going on. So, Charlie, you see what's going on in our state. Massachusetts is a carry state, but you guys are going through a ton. You guys are fighting for your 2A rights there. They're trying to take them away every day. But our Attorney General, the Toad, and our Governor, the Tooth, they're trying to get his wife, Tammy Murphy, to be the next U.S. senator because now Menendez is not rerunning as a Democrat. He's probably going to run as an independent because he needs his ability to fund and fundraise so he can raise money for all his legalities. This is a guy who, for the entire time he was a U.S. senator, tried to take our gun rights away, calling us criminals, while him and his wife were stealing millions of dollars and selling us out to foreign countries for their own personal gain, right? Pot kettle, right? Pot kettle. So, Charlie, tell us more. Tell us more what people, you know, what. So we heard your story for inspiration. Give us, you know, you're very educated. You're very well-spoken. What else can people out there do? We need you to inspire more people in New Jersey, Massachusetts, and across the country to continue to be on our team and fight for our 2A rights and education. So just share some stories and anything you can that can inspire our listeners, please.
Well, all right. Well, thanks. The first thing people need to do is to realize that all of our politicians sit down to take a crap just like we do.
Yep.
They're people. They put their pants on one leg at a time, just like everyone else, right? They're just people. And when you realize that they're just people, our job is to tell them what we feel about things and how we feel about things because they're supposed to be representative of their constituents. And if we don't let them know how we feel about things, when they go to events and they see all the red shirts like they saw recently in I think it was in Colorado. They were outnumbered like 3-1, the red shirts to the teal shirts. When they see more people in red shirts and they see more anti-gun wackos, they're going to assume that's what people want. So we have to go out. We all have to stop being closet gun owners and go out and say, hey, listen, you know what? This is a bunch of crap, and you're taking my rights away, and you're concerned about me making a firearm. But I'm not a criminal and I'm not committing any crimes and I'm going through background checks and I'm going through all the requirements, all the hoops that you're making me go through. I'm going through all this nonsense, but you still don't want me to carry. You still don't want me to go into the bank. You still don't want me to carry a gun like, we've got a very good friend in New Jersey who can't carry while he's driving. And I'm like, dude, that's ridiculous. You have to, you, and I tell people this in class all the time. I said, Mike, I got a buddy in Jersey that carries the gun from his house to his car, unloads the gun, drives, loads the gun, and then goes into the store. This is ridiculous. You put, you know, it shouldn't be the opposite where, you know, you talk to the guy that's a police officer that puts the revolver in his leather holster, and in, you know, 37 years they commingle and the leather turns into the, it, you know, turns into the metal, and you can't get the gun out of the holster. But you have to speak up about this stuff. You have to let people know how you feel. I've got a good friend that Petrolino coined the Bay State King of Glocks. And this guy's a he's got a landscaping business. You know, he was active in the military for a long time. He was a contractor after that, came home, started a job, started a career as a landscaper. Good Christian guy, doesn't swear, doesn't drink, doesn't smoke, doesn't do drugs, goes to church. He's got a wife, he's got a son, he hangs out with his grandkids all the time. And when he writes to Representative Michael Day, which is the guy that did this gun law listening tour, he will write on his social media, "Fuck you, you douchebag. You're an asshole and you're taking our rights away." And I love it when he swears because it's so much more effective than us guys who swear all the time. Because it's, you know, but it's great when he does this, because he's like, he actually got to the point. The reason Petrolino called him the Bay State King of Glocks is the Representative Day's people reached out to him and said, "Hey, you're kind of hammering us on the, you know, on the Facebook here with all the swears and everything. Can you slow down on this?" And he's like, you want to take my Second Amendment right, and now you want to stop me from my First Amendment right? You can fuck right off. He called him on the phone to say, "Listen, you got to go easy on Facebook." He's like, "No, I'm not at all." He's great.
Oh, well, I forgot something. That save the date, April 20th. My wife and I are going to be at the Women for Gun Rights DC Project New Jersey fundraiser at the mansion on Main Street in Voorhees Township. So if anybody wants tickets for that, they should go to cnjfo.com and buy tickets for it. Charlie, you're going to be the MC. There's going to be a lot of speakers there. Some of them I know very well. Dick Heller, Lucretia. Want to tell us a little bit about that event and what's going to go on? Because I'd like to have more people join us at the mansion on Main Street. Mark Cheeseman's going to be there. Jay Factor's going to be there. Please tell us some info on that.
It's absolutely. So it, like you said, it's going to be at the mansion in Voorhees Township. It's on Saturday, April 20th from, I think, 7 to 11, I think, is the time. Like you said, Dick Heller is going to be there. Lucretia Hughes is coming up from Florida. She actually lost a son to some gang violence. And yes. Then she's going after the politicians because they're like, "Hey, you want to stop me from having a gun, but my son was shot illegally and, you know, by a criminal and all that kind of stuff." Gabby Franco is going to be there. She's coming up from Virginia. She's the Olympian from Venezuela. Gosh, who else is going to be there? Like you said, Jay Factor is going to be there, and Cheeseman. I'm looking forward to meeting those guys. That's going to be a lot of fun. Tony Simon is going to be going. I think Petrolino is going to be in town. Amanda Suffolk and Rob Campbell, the Eye on the Target Radio, they're going to be coming up. Kelly Pigeon from Pennsylvania is coming. Of course, Teresa Einecker is going to be there, and all the CNJFO people, Rosie and Nick and everyone else. It's going to be a lot of fun, man. I went to this a couple years ago.
Tony Simon's going to be there?
Yeah, Tony Simon's going to be there. Of course, Tony's great, man. Yes. But yeah, I went to this a couple years ago. It's so much fun. You just get to hang out and just hang out with all your favorite pro gun folks on the Eastern Seaboard. It's great. It's going to be fabulous. There's going to be some raffles and whatnot. Some prizes you can win. It's going to be great. It's going to be a fundraiser for CNJFO and the Women for Gun Rights, which are the people that are out there busting their hump. You know, the Women for Gun Rights are the teal shirts, so they're the answer to the the anti-gun moms, to the commie mommies, as a lot of us like to call them. It's going to be a lot of fun, man. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm pretty sure Tim Howard's going to be there. He was there last time.
Yeah, oh, he's a great guy too. So listen to this, ladies and gentlemen. I got this letter from Rich Bowen, and Charlie, since I have you on and you carry in Massachusetts, He goes, "Hi, Anthony." I listened to your show with John Valenti today. I hope he takes to heart your suggestion about using a 22 pistol to teach new shooters basic marksmanship. It is a great tool for both new and old shooters. Okay. Let me tell you something. I agree. And Charlie talked about the 6.17 Smith & Wesson being one of his favorite guns. So this hit spot on. So now Rich is like, this is for you. A five shot is nice, but it only holds five shots. In addition, reloads under pressure with a revolver are slow and difficult. If you're not using a speed loader, it's even slower. As an alternative, try the Ruger LC9S. The LC9 will work too, but the trigger is a little nicer than the S. A little nicer on the S. Plus, there is no hammer to deal with. Both are 9mm and hold 7-1. Either are better than a 5-shot, even if the 5s are 38s. In addition, a magazine is always better than a speed loader or a speed strip. I'm gonna try one. He added that Talon grip on it, and he's talking about different carry outside the waistband, IWB, and then he's talking about using Perry-style suspenders. I'm sorry, Rich, I'm not up to suspenders yet, especially when I carry in Florida. I'm just not up to suspenders yet. You know, I love my 5-shot revolver, and I put this little trigger sheath on it by Clip Draw. I just clip it over the trigger sheath, and I can wear the gun in my pocket, too, because I'm a safe and responsible gun owner with two Bianchi speed strips. Again, a little gun or a gun without a lot of ammo is better than no gun, Rich, so there's something for everybody. But I'm definitely going to check out when I go back to New Jersey in 2 weeks. I'm going to grab the Ruger off the rental wall, and I'm going to shoot it a little bit and see if I like it. And if I do, I'll purchase one and send it down to Florida. But this is the great thing, is there's so many opinions. Charlie, talk to us. Give us some tips, because obviously you've had the right to carry in Massachusetts for a long time. What do you like to do when you're carrying? Give us some of your suggestions as far as gear and guns.
Well, if you don't want to go with suspenders, Anthony, I'd say just flat out go with some bib overalls.
Nice. With no undershirt.
Carrying that's in the shutter right. pocket, that's, yes.
That's right. So I went, when I first started to carry, I freely admit this, when I first started to carry, I carried an unloaded gun because it was all new and all strange and awkward. And I didn't start, carrying until I was in my early 30s. But I had a Phobos holster, and I carried a 5-shot Smith 6.37. And I eventually got to the point where I said, okay, you know what, I'm going to load this. And I only carried on a couple of places I'd go to on the weekends because I wanted to carry. And I eventually got a crossbreed. So it's half leather, half Kydex. And I loved it because it conforms to your body. And I like to tell people I have a little extra retention device. It's a little Dunlap, you know what I mean?
A stomach.
Exactly. My belly Dunlaps over the belt. So I wore that for a long time. And then I noticed that I would only, I would only carry on weekends. And then I decided, I heard Tony Simon say, you want to talk about it or do you want to be about it? And I said, ooh, I'm going to be about it. So I decided I'm carrying every day. And because of where I work, I can't carry at work, but I carry to work and I carry from work. And I don't go from home to work back home. I go from home to work to other places and then eventually go back home. And I wanted to carry a gun, and I didn't want to have to drive 25 or 30 minutes to go get my gun to drive 25 or 30 minutes back. So I started carrying on my ankle. And yes, it's fuddish to carry a revolver. I don't care. And it's even more fuddish to carry on my ankle. But I can take that off and put it on at a stoplight and nobody even knows. I did that last summer. I interviewed Riley Bowman from ConcealedCarry.com. And he actually made me an appendix carry for my J-frame. And I wore that last summer. And it wasn't too bad. And I've got a couple of new holsters. I'm trying to carry a semi-auto, but I don't really like the holsters that have one clip on them. I feel like the gun slides around a little bit. The crossbreeds have the two clips on them, and I think it really holds the gun in place. So I like the holsters that have two clips that might be a little bit bigger, but conform to your body. I carry the J-frame. It's carried on my ankle. Yeah, okay, sure, it's fuddish. People pat me down on the waist. I went to go see Charlie Daniels one time at a little outdoor concert venue, and they were patting people down. So I pulled out my speed strips and my knives and held it behind my wallet, had the ankle, a gun on the ankle, and I put my arms out, and they patted my torso down, and then I walked right through. I put the gun in the ammo and the knives back in my pocket. I put the wallet in my pocket and walked right in.
Excellent.
I interviewed Charles Von Vick last fall, and he stopped a mass shooting at a church in South Africa. And he talked about after that incident, he was carrying and he was going somewhere else. And he said he was carrying a 5-shot revolver on his ankle and they patted down his torso and then didn't check his ankle. And the second time he was able to use the revolver the second time to save himself in a second fight for his life. Wow. And I'm like, this is the victory of the 5-shot revolver on the ankle. You guys call it FUDs and whatever. That's fine.
I'm a huge advocate of the 5-shot revolver because especially I'm in Southwest Florida and in the summer it's 100 degrees and when you stand, you sweat. So the least I can carry the possible, I usually carry a DeSantis pocket holster, but now I found this clip thing and it's like, oh, wow. Now I'm going commando with the gun. Ew. Anyway, listen to this one. This is from my buddy Danielle. He sent this email and this is a good one, Charlie. We talk about this too. Anthony, thanks for taking some time to talk with me and my colleague at the range last week. This Saturday, I drove to work early in the morning. I have a usual routine like most people who carry. Wake up, get dressed, go to the vault, get the concealed gun, leave the house, lock the door. I decided to stop for coffee and I noticed I missed a step. At the door, I usually do my 4 points of inspection: phone, wallet, keys, gun. I forgot the steps and left my wallet at home. What does someone do in this situation? What would happen if I was pulled over? Or even worse, had I had to use force and use my gun? The newest thing I'm starting my practice is leave my wallet with my gun from now on. I think this is a good idea. Daily routine and everyday carry have been taken for granted in my short life of EDC. I did not realize it when I started carrying. Please bring this up on your show. Well, here's the deal. Just like I have in my book, Crime Proof, and when you're traveling, take digital photos of everything and keep them in a folder labeled important. If push comes to shove, if you're pulled over by a cop, you could say, listen, I left my wallet at home, but I have a picture of my driver's license, I have a picture of my registration, picture of my insurance card, and a picture of my carry permit, officer. All right. Now, they could still give you tickets for not possessing that stuff. And then you'd go to court and you'd possess the hard copies and the prosecutor most likely would drop everything. But if the cop is pretty cool and you're pretty cool, 9 times out of 10, the digital will be enough to get you by. Driver's license, you want to take a picture of both sides. Carry permit, you want to take a picture of both sides. Again, so you don't have to scroll through while you're nervous being pulled over by a cop. Put them all in a folder on your phone or on a desktop of the phone that you have all of this information. Listen, there's times where somebody asks for a copy of my ID or something or my health insurance card. I have a digital photo in that important folder. I don't have to take a picture of it to upload it. I can just drag it over and upload it because I keep it there. I do the same thing. I take a picture of my license plate on my cars. The last time I checked into a hotel, they asked for my license plate, right? I don't know my license plate number. I go in my important folder. I'm like, oh, there it is. And I write it down. So little things like that. We can't commit everything to our brain, DT. So this is a great learning process. Digital photos of everything. The same thing, digital photos of your kids. For you people out there with young kids and young grandchildren, if you take them out for the day or on vacation or something, before you step out of the house, take a picture of each of the kids with what they're wearing that day. God forbid you should be separated from them. Not only do you have a current photo for the police, you have a current photo of what they're wearing for the police. Without further ado, back to my traveling man from Massachusetts, who's over 200 riding shotguns with Charlie, and you can go to Riding Shotgun with Charlie. Go ahead, hit it. .com.
Yes. So all the places people can find me, they can find me at obviously I'm on Facebook at Riding Shotgun with Charlie, but Riding Shotgun with Charlie on YouTube. I put the shows on GunStreamer too. So
I don't even know what GunStreamer is. Learn us.
I hate saying it's like YouTube, but there's no restrictions, but it's like YouTube with no restrictions. So it's another video channel where people can load up their own contents and there's no restrictions.
I love it.
Yeah. So the show's on GunStreamer. It's also on the OpsLens app if anyone has that. I have been writing for News2A. Petrolino got this together. He did the whole thing where he talked to the News2A guys and he's like, hey, listen, I think I can get Charlie Cook to write for you. And then he goes to me and he says, hey, I think I can get you to put some articles on News2A. So he's working it from both sides. So I've been writing for News2A. I repurposed the shows for Writing Shotgun, WRITING. And the nice. Writing Shotgun with Charlie is on the armedlifestylemagazine.com. So I go back and revisit one of the the people that I've had on the show. I do a new interview with them, put that video out as a new interview, and I write an article on the two interviews that I've done and what that person's doing. So, yeah, that's all. I think
I'm ready whenever you are. Just let me know. I'll redo with you anything you want.
Oh, awesome. 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 Okay. Yeah. So I also, as if I don't have enough on my plate, I was on the Polite Society podcast when they were putting shows out, but the host, Paul Lathrop, decided to take a break. I do a live show with Matt Mallory, who is a Gun for Hire alumni.
And yes, we do a live show. Matt, 1,000 years.
Yeah. So he and I do a live show. So we'll have to have you on that. We've had a lot of people. We've had Michael Bain and Stephen Williford and we've done Christmas shows and all sorts of things. So, yeah, we'll have to get you on that for sure, for sure.
I'm in. Whatever you need to help the cause too.
I got to tell you, one of the great times I had was at the NRA this past year. Me and a couple snuck into the board of directors party, right? Because one guy was supposed to be there. I'm telling you, we need to go there before, because when the party starts, we'll already be there. Right. This is just like what I used to go do to see bands play. I'm like, if we're there, we're there.
And, I was there. I vouched for you bastards.
You did. You know, you came up to me like, how the fuck did you get in here?
That was so funny.
I'm Charlie. This is what I do.
That was a great day. All right, Charlie, close it out. Tell people where they can find you. Support those who support you, everybody.
All right, Riding Shotgun with Charlie on YouTube. Download the podcast, armlifestylemagazine.com. News to where you can find articles there. This has been an honor for me, guys. Thank you so much.
We'll have you on again now that you broke your cherry on the show.
That's great. That was that visual will not ever leave me. Charlie, thank you so much. Riding Shotgun with Charlie on YouTube. Make sure you subscribe and hit that like button and ring that bell. We want as many people to be able to be exposed to this as possible. It really is a really cool show. Well, it looks like you've done it again. You've wasted yet another perfectly good hour listening to Gun for Hire Radio. Gun for Hire Radio is a Counterfeit Media production. The music used in this broadcast was managed by Cosmo Music, New York, New York. On behalf of our show host, Master Trainer Anthony Calandro, author of Crime Proof, Speak Like a Criminal and Beat Them at Their Own Game, which fortunately he mentioned once in passing, but is a good primer for crime avoidance, self-defense, and apparently, according to today's show, marital advice for taking your wife out to dinner. We love you guys from the shadows of the New York City skyline up in Massachusetts and here on the beautiful Gulf of Mexico on the Alabama coast. God willing, Jesus tarries in the battery. Hold out. We will see you again next week.